This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
This is Greg Madsen again. I'm the Secretary of Dog Guide Handlers Australia because I've just moved into this next session, which we will be talking about domestic travel. And we've got two presenters in this session. It'll go for about 30 minutes. We will allow each of the speakers, we'll give each of the speakers about 10 minutes to talk about their particular aspect. And then we'll open up for questions towards the end and, of course, the next quiz question. So today we have Nina Smith, who is a founder of Travel Paws, and James Buck McFarlane, who is a founder of Cocky Guides. And I might start, go ladies first, with Nina. Nina went on a trip. She is a Dog Guide user. Her dog guide, Nixon, was organising a trip to Japan and found that there was a six-month period of time that it took her to weed her way through the quarantine regulations for both Australia and Japan. And through that, came back after that and thought that information would be useful to other people so they don't stumble across the same things that she might have done at that time. So documented that and then created this organisation called Travel Paws. So Nina, if you want to unmute and just let us know what you're doing at the moment and where you are.
Thank you, Greg. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. Hello, everybody. And thank you very much to the DHA committee for putting on this amazing two-day conference. It's been fabulous. Really enjoyed it. And thank you for this opportunity. Buck and I look forward to sharing domestic travel stories with you. But first of all, I will talk to you a little bit about Travel Paws and how it started and why it came about and why I guess I'm in a position now, I hope, to be able to help other dog guide handlers with their domestic travel journeys. So 2 years ago, I went to Japan with my guide dog, Nixon, and I had been travelling all my life pretty much, and I lived and worked overseas in Japan for many years, and I decided to go back to Japan, and I wrongly assumed that the process would all be very easy, just like it was before I lost my sight in 2010. And I found that the whole process was basically a complete and utter dog's breakfast. And the understanding the obligations for travel was complex. Having to talk to many agencies, both here in Australia and then overseas in Japan. And there was a lot of repetition of forms that were inaccessible. And I found it very overwhelming and I nearly gave up, to be honest. And then I decided, why should I give up? Because I really need my guide dog Nixon with me. He's my eyes. But not only that, he's helps me with my balance and my invisible disability, which is my anxiety. So I really needed to follow through, and I had a huge support team of people around me that helped me get through the experience. And I decided that I would come home and document all my learnings in the hope of helping other dog guide handlers that may want to travel internationally. So fast forward to today, the reality is that in the COVID world, we aren't going anywhere internationally for probably a while now. And reluctant as I've been in accepting that fact, it's important that I guess we all do, even though some of us love travelling internationally. Domestic travel will be part of our life for a little while. And so I am looking at the moment at creating domestic travel services. And I think the motto around Travel Pause is travel without barriers. So Travel Pause looks at all the barriers to travel. So in overseas, it was very obvious. It was understanding the obligations, identifying what the rules were for particular countries, etc., etc. And that's what's up on our website. But domestically, there are also barriers. And I thought to myself, well, what are those barriers? At the moment, for me, if I think of going and crossing a border within Australia, I think to myself, I would like to know what the quarantine policies are. If I got stuck in a quarantine hotel facility with Nixon, I would want to be very sure I would never be separated from him. I'd want to be sure that I could toilet him safely. So I've made an initial contact with Minister Hunt, the Health Minister, Federal Health Minister, to try and establish what the policies are. And it appears to date, there aren't any. So that conversation's an important one to get moving. There are other barriers to travel, like there are different policies within different states of Australia around what is an assistance dog and what do you need as identification, what can you do on different public transport, etc., etc. So I plan to, in the future, put up on Travel's website what those policies are. A barrier for me personally, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, is my memory. And I'd like to include on the Travel Pause website a list of sort of must take, must not forget items. So, for instance, you know, they might be on hot concrete if I'm going up north, is taking Nixon's boots or taking his seatbelt harness for the plane, taking his short straps to strap him in on the plane. It might be taking his favourite toy, or everyone has different list items, and I'd like to put them up on the website. The other thing is, what is the other thing? See, I've got a bad memory. I would, when I guess some tips, if I can think of some tips and hints for, again, that I'd like to put up on the Travel Pause website, they're things like going always, knowing always who your emergency vet might be, where you're going. So if you're going to Sydney and you're staying in a particular area, where will the local emergency vet be? And just know in advance where that might be. It also might be, should something happen to me, and I am separated from Nixon, what are some care instructions that I might give somebody else to, so I don't have to worry about making them up at the time. They're there with me in my suitcase and I can just hand them over to somebody. They're the key things. There's lots of things, I guess, I learned yesterday about the, I can't remember what they're, the enrichment activities. You know, if you were locked down for 2 weeks in quarantine, what a fabulous set of games, if you like, that we learned yesterday about enrichment activities, and I'd like to put them up on the Travelwards website with the permission of Guide Dogs Victoria to just be sure we know how to stimulate our dog and keep them entertained should we be locked down for 2 weeks. And
1 minute.
Thank you. I am just about to finish, but I before I hand over to Buck, I'd like to say that I am now about to flick the switch to make live. The Travel Pause website. So it's travelpause.org, and you'll find lots of hints and tips and information resources for travel on there. And also our Facebook page, which is Travel Pause, all one word again. And we'd love to welcome you in the group. We have a survey later too, but I'll let Buck introduce that. So over to you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much. That's very interesting. Okay, our next speaker is James Buck McFarlane, founder of Cocky Guides. And Buck has been running this organization for about 10 years, taking people to exotic destinations and meeting the needs that they might have. A couple of years ago, he came across some people who were traveling with him that were blind or vision impaired and did some research in how best to meet their needs. So he's now making tour groups available for people who are blind or vision impaired, taking them to exotic destinations. And Erica was telling me that for those who can't see, behind Buck, he's got his video on and he's got palm trees and sand and whatever. So I don't know whether he's actually in an exotic location or just happened to have a great screensaver behind him. But anyway, over to you, Buck.
Thanks, Greg. And Nina, where were you in August 2018 when I decided to trial group tours for blind and low vision travellers? The service you provide is fantastic, and sharing your knowledge and pulling it into one place for domestic travel is just going to be a bonus, not for not just for Cocky Guides, but for all travellers. So really looking forward to seeing that evolve. So any information or tips people have, please get involved in the Travel Pause community. But I've been in travel for over 10 years, working for companies like Intrepid, G Adventures, Adventure Tours Australia. And in all that time, I've had travellers with all sorts of needs, people missing home, people with autism, deaf travellers, but I never came across a blind or low vision traveller. I'm sure there's plenty of low vision travellers that came on my trip, but they never said anything to enrich the destinations we visited. So when I was looking at what we could do in to provide specialised tours, I kept coming back to blind and low vision travellers, trying to provide just another choice to get out there and experience, you know, amazing places. So, since August 2018, I've been providing group tours that specialise in highlighting destinations and making unique experiences for blind and low vision travellers. So pretty much we take out the sightseeing of a typical tour and we replace it with sensory elements like storytelling, tactile and taste elements. So, when we started in August 2018, that was pretty much myself, and hadn't met any blind or low vision community members, and just went out there and gave it a go and learned a lot from the community. So for those people that are part of this call today that have been on a trip and have seen us, grow and expand, and, thanks for your help in the early days. So what's it like leading a group tour for Cocky Guides? Well, no different to any other group tour. You have people that don't listen. You have people that go off and do things. You have people that, will wait till the last minute to go to the toilet when you're leaving. Just like everything that happens on a group tour happens on Cocky Guides. Except what we do is that we have support ratios to help provide people to get around with their mobility aid, whether that be a dog guide or a white cane. Some people will bring a companion, but we provide a trip leader that represents one in four support with vocal instruction to help navigate places we visit. A lot of the group tours that we offer to the public, we know the destinations exceptionally well, and we know a lot of the partners there, and we know where to park the bus so that we can help you wayfind with your white cane and all that sort of stuff. So in a nutshell, we provide, if you want to do a group tour, we make it very easy, and we make it, all the experiences that should appeal to blind and low vision travellers. So, you won't get that tour that stops at three sightseeing spots, and, by the second one, you're a little bit bored. We make sure all our activities are targeted so that a blind or low vision traveller can be engaged that whole time. Now, if we go to a winery and you don't like wine, we can't help that. Okay. But now I guess you've got a choice in Australia for a group tour that will have maybe a lot more engaging experiences. But so we're really proud of that fact. In fact, we've had over 500 traveler movements in the past 3 years to 35 different destinations. So I guess the main difference between leading a trip would be the fact that meal times are very busy for us, and also orientating people at hotels. So that tends to be our busiest times on tour with Cocky Guides. And our tours are really structured. That's very important because we're providing that one in four group support. So it's important to have quite a structured day. But that's how we can best provide support on the group tours. So as a dog guide handler, what you can expect on a group tour. Well, look, the trip leaders, we understand three things we concentrate on. It's comfort for yourself and your dog guide. It's understanding the complexity of transport and how we can assist in that regard. And it's toileting. So we understand the need of having, accommodation that makes it easy and allows you to be independent to toilet your dog guide. We understand every handler is different. Totally everyone has different ways of working with their dog. We're not there to judge. We're there to present a destination. So we understand that everyone does things differently. But what we do see is quite common. After about day two, the dog guide tends to look at cues from the leader to get a sense of what's going to happen next. So that's something that we notice is common amongst all the dog guides. And we understand dog etiquette. So this is really good in public as well. So, where situations arise, we can help educate the public when it comes to dog guide etiquette. And yeah, I guess safety measures like, you know, refusal of service and all that sort of stuff rarely happens because we're in areas we know well, dealing with people that we've had relationships with for over 10 years. So yeah, we do make it really easy. So for example, and Nina, you know, I guess all of you guys on the call will know this, the effort to book an airline ticket, the experience is totally different with the three airlines we use. And surprisingly, Jetstar has the easiest online booking process that I've found to get a dog guide on board. Qantas, a full service airline, is a little bit more complicated with a lot of wait times. And Virgin, if you've got the right contact number, you can get to the right spot within about 5 minutes. So I think Nina and other dog guide handlers, any tips and that sort of thing we can share on Travel Pause to assist people to have a hassle-free booking experience with airlines, you know, that's knowledge well shared. And
one,
I think
1 minute, Buck, 1 minute.
And an opportunity for us to, you know, work with the airlines to make the process similar with all of them. So, yeah, what's it like to travel in the COVID era? Pretty much very complicated in organising trips. So we find that the airlines have a lot less flights, a lot less connections. They're busy. Accommodation is at peak capacity. So, you know, we're doing things at the last minute, looking 3 months out and trying to keep that flexibility for when there are random lockdowns. So we've just had experiences in Cairns, Uluru and Magnetic Island that have been impacted by COVID lockdown in Melbourne. So, you know, we're being really flexible with our booking arrangements with providers so that we can provide the most flexibility for our travellers. But yeah, we've had fun in the past 12 months. We went to destinations like Lightning Ridge, Fraser Island, Melbourne. Let's see where else we've been to. Orange, Magnetic Island, Cairns, Noosa, Byron Bay. So we haven't stopped travelling in COVID. We're just trying to be a lot more flexible and trying to create more internal state products as well for people in their own state.
That's fantastic. We'll have, might have to leave it there because I just want to leave a little bit of time for questions. Okay. Firstly, Erica, is there anybody got any questions in the chat? No? So if anyone's got any questions, they want to raise their hand, Alt-Y, Command-Y on a Mac, *9 if you're on a phone. And while we're waiting for that, I'll just ask a question, if I may, both Buck and Nina. So in a situation where you might have, you know, a group that might have three or four dogs, we're aware that some of the airlines have got a limit on the amount of dogs they will take on any one time. How would you work around something like that?
So at Cocky Guides, where that's happened previously, we've had, four dog guides in Adelaide. Okay. So a lot of the time we'll have travellers from all over the country that will meet us at a destination. So that doesn't impact the flights. But yep, where we do have limitations on flights, we'll look for alternatives. And then we'll have local guides assist with meet and greets at the airport. Right. Other complication for us is what transport we use. So, you know, if you have four dog guides, that changes potentially the type of transport we use to get around an area. So once we get to two on a particular flight or on any trip, then we'll start to work with the dog handlers. And, you know, some situations we might have to cap it first in, best dressed, but we haven't had to at this stage in 3 years.
Yeah, it's a good point. Me and Erica went on a bus trip just recently down to the southwest for a festival down there, and we want to do another one of these tours through the goldfields in WA. But the only place really for a dog that will fit is down at the back of the bus where the toilet is. So we've got to sit where the toilet is. And I'm sort of okay with that. There's enough room for the dog. But the, you know, the elderly people of the bus, I think it puts them off. They then don't want to use the toilet because, you know, we're just sitting down there and the dog sprawled out on the step there. So it would be great if there was more room in these tour buses so that you can, you know, you've got more opportunity to have more dogs.
Yeah, and look, and we're going to be limited to what's available in different places, you know, unless we're touring every single day with our own buses. So it's going to be one of the limitations we have, but we're aware of it, and we use different size vehicles. Fraser Island, perfect place, right at the front of the tour buses on Fraser Island, a massive spot for a dog guide. So, yeah, we just try to think ahead and work with our travel partners to make it as comfortable as possible.
Fantastic. Well, thank both you and Nina for making yourselves available. Your information is in our, well, we'll be going up on our different social media and our website. So hopefully people will take the opportunity to be able to take advantage of your thing. And you said, Nina mentioned, Buck, that you were thinking about a survey. Do you want to just finish with that?
Yeah, look, what we're going to do, Greg, is provide a survey to the committee to forward to conference participants and other members. And that's just to help drive the direction of information that's shared and that may be valuable on the Travel Paws website, and also help us with our planning as well. And people that do the survey, what Cocky Guides is going to do is if in 25 words or less, you can tell us what day trip you'd like to do from your nearest capital city, you'll have a chance to win that day trip. So we'll structure a trip around your suggestion, and you'll get to ride on that trip for free.
Fantastic. Thanks. That's very generous.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website, www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?